You're listening to Spice Radio, 1200 AM's The Morning Buzz with Mankir and Ajula. And we're talking about how the DOXA Documentary Film Festival is on here in Vancouver. And one documentary that you need to check out is Am I the Skinniest Person You've Ever Seen? You can catch it on May 10th. And we are now speaking to award-winning filmmaker and author Aisha Majara. She is going to tell us all about it. Aisha, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here.
Now, of course, I know you yourself have told a lot of great stories and documentaries, but what made you want to be a storyteller in the first place? What drew you to this?
I started out as a photographer because I really love photography and I wanted to be a fashion photographer because I'm obsessed with fashion and images. But I just felt like the lifespan of a photograph is so short. Like it appears in a magazine or, you know, for like a month or so or a week and then it's gone. And it just felt like it sort of hollow. I felt like, okay, I need to dig deeper and create things, stories that are timeless and that really, you know, move people for days, weeks, years, probably. And that's like why I write stories. And there's just infinite stories that can tell great, great sessions.
It's beautiful, and I want to get into your documentary that's showing at DOXA. And I will say, kind of going into it, like I had these ideas beforehand going into it, thinking like, I think I know what this is going to be about, but it was so much more. So for folks who aren't familiar, what is Am I the Skinniest Person You've Ever Seen about?
It's about my struggle with anorexia, but it's about more than that. I didn't want to broach the subject in a kind of a mainstream, typical way and showing, oh, well, you know, this is, it's all because of a magazine that I looked at and there were a lot of skinny models and boom, you know, I felt like it had to be very specific. I mean, I told my story really because it was so rich in themes. You know, it talks about immigration, it talks about colorism, it, you know, broaches all of these aspects and about, I think I was really interested in talking about kid that I was that didn't want to grow up. Time was moving too fast and my body was moving too fast. And what was my way of taking control? Stopping eating. And that's what happened because when you stop eating, your body stops growing. You know, as a teen girl, your period stops. You know, so you stay a kid. You don't develop breasts, you don't have curves. So it was also a way to say, look, I'm not ready to be a woman. I don't even know if I want to be a woman because being a woman sucks in this world. You know, we get the raw end of the deal. And so it also addresses sexism, you know, the film. And I just felt like my story, because I'm not attached to my story, because I think it's a universal story. And I really see myself as a character. And that's how I position myself. I'm not particularly attached to it. Because again, I'm a screenwriter. I write feature films, you know? And so I could approach it in the same way. What is very personal to me is my family. You know, I talk about my sister, how we first went on a diet, and that's when it all sort of like happened.
Yeah, and I think for me, you know, watching this documentary, and obviously for folks who haven't seen it yet, I think one of the most powerful scenes is, you know, revisiting your younger self, right? When you were, you know, going through that time in your life when you were really at your lowest weight, and, you know, you do say the title of the film, Am I the Skinniest Person You've Ever Seen? And I just thought to myself, you know, for you kind of going back into this time period and looking back, what was that like for you, you know, kind of reliving it almost?
I was very touched. Very detached because I've broached the subject before, so it wasn't. I think the first time I did it, I mean, when I made an experimental short film called "The Incredible Shrinking Woman," and it's kind of a satire too. And I put myself in front of the camera. I think that was the first time, like, whoa, you know, like I felt when you put yourself in front of a camera. I think a lot of people do now, but is that you kind of can be more objective. So I was able really to separate myself from the character on the screen, you know. And so it was fun. It was fun. I think the difficult part was, or emotionally challenging part was, you know, my sister and my mother talked about that.
And I think also the other aspect of the story that I find so interesting too is, you know, you talk about the experience of, you know, being, you know, from this family, being from a Punjabi family and coming into Quebec, a small town, let alone, and talking about that spirit experience of kind of fitting it in, but also talking about, you know, you dealing with this disorder as well. So for you, why was it important to also include that component? Because that part I found very fascinating, because that was an area I thought we weren't going to explore necessarily, right? Because just based off the title, but why was it important to incorporate that aspect into it?
I think to bring in how my mother's experience, because she was the one who felt very isolated. She couldn't find work, and so she was stuck in the house. And what do you do when you're stuck in the house? And everyone raved about your Indian cooking. She was just cooking, and that was a way for her to feel validated and for her to maybe celebrate her own culture, to feel close to her culture. And that is problematic for a kid who's growing up in a society that celebrates thin bodies, you know. It's a real conflict there, you know, especially for girls. So, and growing up in a small town, I think she had fewer opportunities. If she was maybe, I'm not going to say I'm blaming my mother, not at all, but this is a universal sort of experience of immigrants, you know, of, and today, you know, experiencing isolation and homesickness and, you know, a lot of the South Asians that immigrate here are working really hard, and they don't have the connection and time with family as they did. And many of them aren't living around family, and we weren't living. We were very isolated, you know, as a family. So I think that part of the reality, I didn't really think too overly things, because I wrote the text, the voiceover, really like in an afternoon, just poured out of me. It really did. It just poured out of me. I wrote it in a day, and that became the spine of the story. And then I edited it down, but I saw it as three chapters, you know, and that growing up in Trois-Rivières, the crucial part of my childhood. And I think what makes the film and any film more authentic is that when you is all of the granular sort of specificities of growing up or of the story that makes it more real and maybe relatable rather than just sort of general sort of brushstrokes of my life.
And I think that's the part that really got me too, is I just found it fascinating the way that it kind of, you brought in, it all just really seemed natural the way the story was told. And I think the other aspect that's interesting as I'm watching it, especially now in this digital media era, you know, you talked about growing up in the 80s and, you know, you had like the magazine covers and the models and everything. And, you know, you think about today's younger generation, TikTok generation, I guess we want to call them. I mean, there's still so many kind of like parallels there, right? Because today's young people, they're seeing, you know, what we call influencers out there, kind of selling them a lifestyle, saying you should look like this, you should do this. So just how relevant, you know, is this documentary very much, especially for the younger generation?
Well, I've had girls come up to me and say, well, really hit home for that. So I think I really touched on something. And I mean, it's a different medium, but the messages haven't changed much, you know. I think, because when I started working on the film, it was during the pandemic, and I was hearing a lot of news about kids developing eating disorders. Like, it just shot up, like the rate. And I was like, wow. And I saw an interview with some girls that were talking about how they were experiencing it. And I was going, wow, like, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. It's the same stuff. So, except that I think it's scarier. Because now we have AI, we have technologies that are coming in that are really separating ourselves from nature, from what is natural. So it's hard to, we are becoming more disembodied because we're so reliant on technology. That's a whole other aspect. I could go into the subject from that angle, from the angle of technology and how it's changing. And I think that's a whole kind of area, world that we haven't explored yet. And that is coming up to in the generation of kids growing up like now. And being born now, that's what they're going to face.
That's why I like this documentary, because like I said, it is so relevant. And like you said, it's unfortunate that like nothing's changed. You think there'd be lessons there, but there is something you really do take away from this documentary. And I also want to make it a point to congratulate you, because I was just reading that your documentary won the Betty Youson Award for Best Canadian Short Documentary. How does that feel? That's pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing. I don't know, I just feel very very blessed to have made this film. I mean, making films is so hard, but somehow this film, it just happened. There were obstacles, obviously, as there are, but it came, like my book, when I wrote my book, it was the same thing. It was like my heart went right into it. So no, it's fabulous. You know, it's always a big question, like, how is the audience, when you have the first screening, you know, how is the audience going to receive it? Like, I have no idea how people are going to read it. And it's like, oh, wow, okay, I guess I did something right. I hope that it also, you know, it also speaks to men and boys and the queer community, too. Because I think growing up is really hard for queer people. You know, they're facing a lot of challenges, and for trans folks, you know, who are really grappling, you know, during puberty, is a really tough time. And because I'm talking about growing up and changes in the body, which in my case is, you know, as a girl, but as a cis woman, but for trans people, I think they would also connect with it, with the film.
Mm-hmm. That's why it is such a relatable film, and that's why folks need to go check this out. It is premiering May 10th, part of the Doxa Documentary Film Festival. Aisha, thank you so much for speaking to us. We really appreciate it. You take care.
Yeah, thank you.